Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. We now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries, and I really appreciate your beautiful support and help. I just returned back from a week-long meditation retreat in India a few days ago, and I'm so sorry, but I think I picked up a cold, so I hope you can hear me okay. Today, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks from England. Simon's an amazing man. I know you'll really enjoy his interview. Then, from 3 to 3:15, I'll be bringing on Michiko Hayashi, the wonderful Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, to commemorate the passing of Dr. Masaru Emoto, who passed away on October 17, 2014. When he passed away, he was one of the world's most spiritual people, and his message today is still very important. And then the rest of the hour, from 3:15 to 4, I'll be interviewing James Redfield, the author of The Celestine Prophecy, which sold millions of copies in the 1990s. His book and his work since then has really helped humanity raise their consciousness and ascend. I want to thank everyone for so much for listening today, and I want to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as Marian Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for their goods and services. Also, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, provides wonderful support, and of course, Eric, who does a wonderful job with me here on the show. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact there are angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who passed on or contact your guides, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. I'm continuing to raise funds for the clean water for the Hopi and Navajo Indians, and for only $125, you can buy a new clean water filter so that the Hopi and Navajo Indians can drink clean water. If you'd like to donate for a new clean water filter for the Hopi and Navajo Indians, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. Next year, from January 23rd to February 7th and May 17th to June 5th, I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru to visit one of the world's most famous spiritual places, Machu Picchu. If you'd like to go, please send me an email. Also, my Galactic Wisdom Conference will be on March 13th, 14th, and 15th, 2020. For more information, please see our website at galacticwisdomconference.com. Tomorrow, on Saturday, October 19th, I'll be at the Tacoma Psychic Fair Giving Readings at 5405 South Puget Sound Avenue. And then next week, I'll be going back to Mount Shasta from October 23rd through October 28th. If you'd like to go, it's just $200 per person. And Mount Shasta is a very special area where a lot of miracle healings occur. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello. Can you hear me, Ted?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you fine. I can hear you fine.
I'm sorry you've got a cold. I tell you what, your trip to Machu Picchu should be sold out. That'll be really exciting.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's starting to fill up already. I got a message the other day. It was about 3 weeks ago that they will be bringing me into the Hollow Earth from Machu Picchu in January, and they've told me where to go to do it. So if people want to come with me, I think it's fine. They can come with me, and we'll walk into the Hollow. There's an entrance to the Hollow Earth right at Machu Picchu. So they told me where to go. So anyway, it should be pretty amazing. And you're welcome to come too, Simon, if you like.
Oh, thank you, Ted. Thank you, Ted. Yeah. Anyway, are you actually back home now, or are you still traveling?
I'm home. Yeah, I'm home. I'm home, and it's but you know, flying across the world from India, it's like a flying petri dish, and you get exposed to all these germs and everything. And then I was told to take it easy, and I didn't. I should take better care of my body. So, but I'm feeling better. I slept 15 hours last night, and I'm feeling better today. So, anyway, and I'm sorry about that. I just closed my eyes for a short bit, and then I realized I was late for the show today. So anyway, I'm glad.
Everything's fine, don't worry.
Good. Well, what an amazing time we live in, isn't it, Simon? My goodness, all these things going on. I've never seen so many things happening. It seems like it's just happening all at once.
Yes, it's getting more exciting. I put a message out on my on my website saying that for the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years, we've been told that the America was the policeman of the world. That's always been the pattern. And it was so interesting. I was listening to a recording of the president talking at one of his rallies in Texas.
Right.
It's only just a few hours old. And he actually specifically comes out and says, we are not the policemen of the world. And that was incredible, because that's the phrase I've been using. And I was saying that what the president's doing is he's basically withdrawing from conflict. And he no longer sees America's role as the arbiter in war. Now, that's a key change, because ever since the end of the Second World War, to my knowledge, every president, except Kennedy, of course, every president saw America as the not just the projected strength, but basically the whole point of America was to go in and decide the fate of other countries.
Right.
And very interesting listening to that that talk. And I thought we all learned a lot from that.
Well, it's always an interesting thing when I go up to Canada from here. And I compare and contrast the Vancouver, Canada, and the Seattle newspapers. And a lot of the newspapers here in the States are always focused in on conflict and military budget. But I go up to Vancouver, and they're just focused in on living. That's because they only spend like 9% of their GDP on the military. And here in the States, we spend 57% of our GDP on the military. So, it's a sea change. Yeah, it's definitely a sea change.
Yes, and the other thing was, it was very interesting that President Trump said, we've now got so much ammunition, we don't know what to do with it. And I thought that was very interesting. So they're stockpiling ammunition, although they're not going to have any wars. It is interesting, because America still has to be, in my opinion anyway, has to be the powerfulest country on the planet. It has to be. But if there's a political change, and that does appear to be the case, it means that other countries can't look to America to bail them out. Always in the past, countries have turned to the United States and said, get me out of this situation, or go and do this for me. Well, if that's not the case anymore, it means that countries have to be a little bit more thoughtful about what they do, because Big Brother isn't necessarily going to come and help them.
Right. Well, and also too, I don't think we get the full story in our media here about what's really going on over there. I always think that we only get like part of the story, and it depends upon how the major media wants to slant it. So, that's something I've always thought too. So,
bless you.
Thanks, Simon. Well, how do you think this conflict in Syria will shake out with the Kurds and everything?
I think that there's been unfortunately the established media either missed it, or more likely they didn't really understand what was going on. But what you won't find in the newspapers or on the television is that President Trump did a deal with President Putin. What happened was, this much is known publicly, that Putin spoke to the Turkish Prime Minister, President, and said that Russia would not allow the Turkish military to come into conflict with the Syrian military. So immediately that tells both sides that unless they want Russia intervening, they better not start fighting. So this was all a deal between, very clever, between Putin and Trump, because then Trump comes in the day after and says, I tell you what, boys, I'll broker a deal for you. And this is their way out. because Russia has now said, if you two fight, we're going to put Russian troops in. So here comes President Trump via the vice president and Mike Pompeo saying, let's organize a ceasefire. So, of course, both sides jumped at it because what they didn't want was Russian troops going down the no man's land. So they've got a 3 or 4 day ceasefire and we'll see where we go with it. So there's been a very interesting work between Russia and America to contain that situation. Now, most public don't read that because the papers aren't covering it. But that's interesting that America and Russia working together to de-escalate a situation. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I thought that since Trump has a good relationship with Prime Minister Putin in Russia, that something else was going behind the scenes. But we don't hear that in our media, of course. You only hear like part of it. So, but it's nice to hear.
That wasn't reported in Britain either. I mean, that's the sort of thing that neither Putin nor Trump want, because of all this business about, you know, the investigation about connections between Russia and America. The last thing they want publicly come out and say that. But what I could say privately, in the sense that I was told privately, is that both Russia and America worked together. You know, the good cop, bad cop. So Russia comes in the strong arm. If you don't do this, I'm going to do that. And then America comes in and says, look, let's sit round the table and talk about it. A very clever approach, and it's worked.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to ask you this, Simon. What's your take on this whole Ukrainian fiasco that's been trying to, that the major media here in the U.S. has been trying to stir up?
Again, I think the media and certain people fell right into the trap. The president actually wanted this debate. That's the whole point here. Certain people think that they jumped on the president with this. Actually, he was the one that kicked it off. He wants the debate because he actually wants an investigation, and he wants that because what they tend to do is they take an investigation one way and then it gets moved down another way. So no, the President Trump actually wanted this because it's the only way I think that it can come out into a wider public view. There's a lot of stuff on the periphery that needs to come out. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, good. This is an old post you had a little bit. It's from October 3rd now, but I think it's certainly worth talking about. Is the U.S. Marine Corps on standby? What's happened since then? That's quite serious.
Yes, but it's all a game of bluff.
What
happens is that when the, let's just call them people who are not overly keen on your constitution. give yourself a coughing fit.
Yeah, when that's all right.
When they set themselves off to perhaps push the boundaries a little bit too far, then the military sends them a warning to say, you know, you're getting a bit dangerously close here, and they'll do these things. We see there was a talk of what you guys tend to call a hot coup. That's a very American word. We don't have that in Britain. I like it, though. And the military were talking about a hot coup in terms of somebody was trying to, you know, remove the president unconstitutionally. Because what the military have said is they don't have any problem with an impeachment as long as it follows the constitutional route. That's what they've said. So they don't have a problem. But they do have a problem when it's not legal. Now, I'm sure most of the listeners know that this impeachment inquiry is not actually an impeachment inquiry because it hasn't officially started. You know that to officially start the inquiry, it has to go through and be voted on, and it's not. So this is actually, and the Speaker of the House, Nancy, pulled the vote. They were going to have this vote. And she pulled it. So what I'm saying is that any time something gets a little bit too near to the fireplace, then the military then flex their muscles and they just put troops on standby. So what they did was they sent a warning shot to people who want to get rid of your constitution, basically. Mm-hmm. And they said, we're putting all these Marines on standby and we're calling up the reserves. Wow. Now, what they did was publicly, they put out that it was just part of the swap over holiday period training. That was just a cover. The reality was it was a very serious warning. And you're right, Ted. It was a very serious warning. And the only time the military have ever done this was during the just before the election period, 2016, when they put the National Guard on alert. So what happened was that the bad guys backed off considerably. And now they're coming back again. But that's it's this tug of war, isn't it?
Interesting. Interesting. Well, thanks for the explaining that, Simon. We don't get that in our media. We don't get any of that in our media. Okay. I think, you know, I think that this is a time of the light forces winning over the dark. And so I don't think any of the shenanigans or the schemes by the dark negative entities will succeed. I really don't. It's not, I think we have to be vigilant and keep working. But I do see a bright, beautiful future for us.
Well, it is difficult because at a country like the United States that is so dependent on immediate news and only news that lasts 30 seconds, because that's the way it is now, right. It's very difficult to discern the truth. And at the Minnesota, I think it was Minnesota, rally that Trump was at, he got the highest turnout. These stadiums, obviously, they can hold a lot, but his security advisors advise him how many people they should let in, you know.
Right.
And at the Minnesota one, he got 20,000 people in, another 20,000 outside who couldn't get in. And yet, according to American news, President Trump is trailing in the polls.
And this is the of course. That
I don't understand, because his rallies are incredibly popular. The last time I saw anything like that was Kennedy, President Kennedy.
So
I don't understand how the polling is showing President Trump so low, and yet when you see these rallies, they're absolutely packed solid. It doesn't make sense to me.
It was some years ago now. It must have been in whenever Obama was president, I forget, 08, in that time frame, when there were more than a million people who demonstrated against Obamacare. They didn't want this forced insurance scheme. More than a million people protested against it in Washington, D.C., and the major media here didn't cover anything of it, nothing. All they could say is how much support it had, and it got in, but nobody wanted it. But so they control the message, you know, Simon, so you have to
This is the problem. I mean, democratically or constitutionally, how do you deal with newspaper or television editors who are deliberately skewing the news? And the only way you deal with it is if you can link some of the key people to corruption. And if they can do that and tie some of these moguls, these magnets, these guys to corruption, then you're going to cut the head of the snake off. And I think that's possibly the way it might go. You might find some of these big corporations having their head chopped off.
Right. Well, I don't see how CNN continues, because the cartoon channel here in the United States has more viewers than CNN. And so they must be pumping money into it to keep it afloat, because nobody watches it anymore. It's basically propaganda, and there's not really doesn't have really any news on it.
I agree. Well, look at Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh yeah.
Nobody worked out where his money was coming from, and yet he was receiving huge amounts of money, and apparently didn't work.
Right.
So somebody somewhere has got access to a big machine that prints money. Probably under the ground somewhere, or electronically sends money. And I'm sure to goodness that's exactly what's happening. Somebody somewhere is creating money and sending it to their followers, and that's how they buy them. That's how they keep them going.
Interesting. Yeah. My friend says that television is the tell you vision. It tells you what kind of vision you have. So he's funny when he says that. But this relates it too. You had an interesting post on the National Security Council where President Trump reduced membership on the Security Council, having been told that some members were actively working against him. I know during the Kennedy administration, for example, back in the 60s, there were people actively working against President Kennedy, for example, in the Vietnam talks in Paris, where President Kennedy wanted to get out of Vietnam, but the military industrial complex wanted to continue the war so that, we all know what happened, unfortunately, to our dear President Kennedy. But I'd love a follow-up on that. What else is happening with that, Simon?
I think that President Trump actually got the names of three people who were actively, being a traitor to the American Constitution. Now, that's the word I'm going to use. Uh-huh. And so what he did was he just reduced the numbers attending. For people who outside of the United States probably don't have a clue how it works, and I fully understand that, but the National Security Agency is one of the secret intelligence agencies, and above it supposedly is the National Security Council, which is made up of these top individuals who look at a strategic level around the globe what's happening. Mm-hmm. So anybody who is on the National Security Council has the highest clearance, or nearly the highest clearance. And so to have somebody in there who was not playing the game properly, that was a great, great, terrible thing. And that's why, quite rightly, the president had to, reduce the numbers to keep them out.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. You had another post recently, Simon, on about 5G, President Trump and 5G. I'm often asked why I think President Trump has the inside track regarding 5G. There are many reasons. One that stands out is regard to the Kennedy family. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the nephew of JFK, is a big spender against 5G. Would love some more information on that.
Yeah, well, it is interesting, but sometimes these things cut across boundaries, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican.
Sure.
If you got the science and you've talked to the right people, then you begin to form a picture. And he's definitely fully aware of the lack of medical trials that have been undertaken on 5G. To my knowledge, there has been not one single medical trial about the effects of 5G on the human body anywhere in the world.
Right.
And I've, like many others, have been very concerned about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been fortunate enough to be talking with a guy who has some interesting contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been approached. It's my organization, Connecting Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
We've been approached if we would be willing to distribute some technology that is a very good defense against 5G.
Uh-huh.
Now, we won't actually be making any money because we won't be selling it, but we will be distributing it because the organization only wants spiritual organizations to deliver it. And what I can tell the audience is that the technology that this anti-5G device, it's portable. It's like a USB stick, and it's been made in Russia. Now, that may or may not surprise people, and I want to give you the history on this. In I think the mid-80s or late 80s, there was a terrible nuclear disaster in Russia. A Chernobyl nuclear power station melted down.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians, and people laugh at the Russians, and they really shouldn't, because the Russians have some top-notch scientists. And the Russian military said, we can't get in to Chernobyl to clean up the site because of the radiation. So they got their military scientists to produce a technology which was portable that actually pushed away radioactivity.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the mid 1980s.
What?
This same group of scientists, understanding the worry of 5G, have tweaked this technology.
Uh-huh.
So now this actually pushes away the 5G. It creates an umbrella, a bubble of energy.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, these scientists don't have a factory. They don't have a, you know, because no big corporation is going to back them.
Right.
And they just make them by hand. So we're only talking several hundred, you know, a week. We're not talking thousands here.
Right,
About 2 years ago, Ted, Russia Today Television came to my house here and did an interview with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it was changed into Russian. So, of course, there was no point in me watching it.
Right.
But I didn't realize until a couple of weeks back that it was incredibly successful in Russia. And it's been shown 8 times in the last 2 years on mainstream Russian television. And
really?
I'm told that everybody loves my cats. Now, was the Russian scientist saw this interview? The Russian scientist saw this interview and said, this man, Simon Parks, we want him to distribute our 5G, anti-5G devices because he's running a spiritual organization. And that's how it all came about. Isn't that incredible?
Mm. That's wonderful. What a nice story. My goodness. My goodness. Will it be available on your website, Simon, or how people
can order? Yes, what we'll do is I'll make an announcement on the radio shows.
Okay.
And I'll put it out, and it'll have to be it'll have to be on a first come, first serve basis. I think each unit's about $200. It's something like that.
Okay.
They are free energy devices, which means they do not run by solar power or wind power. They're about 3 inches long by 1/2 inch, and they run off the natural electricity of your body. So it's Tesla, back engineered Tesla technology.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you carry it, it produces a defensive shield of about 6 to 9 feet around you. If you plug it in as a USB stick, if you plug it into your computer, it produces 15 to 20 feet shield. And if you get four and you put them in the corners of your house, it will not only protect you, but any animals or birds or anything within something like 50, 60 yards radius. So it's coming from a non-cabal, non-deep state place. I'm incredibly I've spoken to the scientists, some of them. There's some scientists from Switzerland, had a conversation with them. I've seen some of the data, and I'm very proud and amazed that, you know, my organization Connecting Consciousness is going to be allowed to distribute it. What will happen is I'll just carry a link on my website and people will click on that. They'll go straight to the organization working with the scientists, and they'll buy direct. So you won't be paying me, you'll be paying the guys who are making it, but they don't want negative energy on this product. And then I believe when I'm up and running, they're going to go to David Icke, and they're going to ask David Icke if he would do the same on his site.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yep.
So, you know, that's where we go with it. But we'll make an announcement when we know things are a bit clearer.
Well, if some of these crazy governments are able to put in 5G, I mean, people's health are going to be affected. I know that when they tested 5G earlier this year in Brussels, in Amsterdam, all these birds died and people got sick, had all these health problems. So, I think they recently tried to do a 5G test in Seattle and had the same problems. They canceled it because of the problems.
The thing is that the elite, you know, because the people aren't asking the right questions. We ask the right questions on your radio show, Ted, is that the elite have children. They have children and they have animals. And they've got not the same technology. It's not coming from where I'm going to get mine from, but it's the same technology. And all of the elite, their wives, their brothers, their sisters, their children are all going to have this. And I've even been told that their devices, they've even decided to sew them into the collars of their dogs and cats or their horses.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So
we'll do the same. No, we'll absolutely do the same. So if you've got a beloved animal, cat, dog or horse, then you get a system to clip yours on, because good enough for that lot is okay for us. You know, just because they're the trillionaires and, you know, full power and all the rest of it, it doesn't mean that we, the ordinary people, have to go without. So if they can do it, we can do it.
Right, right, right. Well,
bless you, Ted.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Thank you, thank you. Oh, I'll be okay.
Good. You have to be, Ted. You can't stop now.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate that so much. You know, it's funny. The other Friday, I was in India, and you tried to reach. I know Eric tried to reach me, and I slept right through it. I was so tired. I slept right through it, and then I woke up toward the end of the broadcast, and I said, "Oh my goodness, I slept right through it." But
well, it's very funny because when we couldn't get hold of you again tonight, Eric said, "Well, look to me. Will you go on and just talk?" And I said, "Oh no, Ted wouldn't like that. We'll wait for Ted."
I don't mind you talking, Simon, if that happens again. So anyway, but it's nice to be awake. I'm glad you waited for me. You had this post with Guzman Lopez, fascinating post. Basically, is Mexico a failed state?
Absolutely, it is. Well, and I mean, I'm trying. You know, we don't want to be political. So my organization, Connecting Consciousness, is not political. So my post didn't say, "Oh yes, and that's why President Trump is building a fence or a wall." I didn't say that. But all I did was tell the truth, and the truth is that Mexico, and I mean, maybe even many of your listeners don't know this, Ted. I don't know, but. Did they know that Mexico has been divided up into four, the whole country of Mexico is divided into four parts, each one run by it's a bit like in the days of the Untouchables, four parts of Mexico divided into drug cartel barons. So the drugs lords have divided the whole country of Mexico into four parts, and then they run those four parts. Now, what happened? the police got shot up. So they sent the army in, and they arrested the son of one of these big leading drugs barons. There was a big shootout, and the police basically released this guy. He wasn't a kid; he was a guy. They released him because they felt there would be civil war, and the drugs barons would bring the government down. So
I put
a post out saying, "Look, you've got this on your border." I'm talking to the United States now. You've got this country on your border where the president of Mexico authorizes his own police force to release a criminal because they can't contain the situation. Now, you've got that on your border. You've got, I don't know. I mean, I've seen maps of Mexico. Literally, they're all drawn up. These drugs barons fight over, a bit like Chicago back in the 1920s. You imagine that. In Mexico, and these drugs barons are the ones who are trafficking people. They're the ones bringing migrants across. See, I don't blame the migrants. I think migrants are victims. Sure. I want to go after these trafficker bosses, these big kings, and these are the guys. And the government in Mexico has just literally caved into them. So I will say now, I didn't say it on my website, but no wonder so many people want to put a barrier because there's absolute evidence of what's going on in Mexico.
This is an interesting take on what you just said, Simon. I'll run it by you. A couple of years ago, I heard a rumor. Well, not a rumor, but it's what Monsanto did in Mexico in the 1990s, that they introduced. Mid to late 1990s, they introduced GMO corn and GMO crops down there, and mechanization for many agricultural enterprises in Mexico. And it what happened is that it created a massive unemployment in the agricultural sector, so that people who did work on the farms now no longer did because they were now mechanized with GMO crops, and so they didn't have any work. And so their choices were either to work for the drug cartel or come over the border and find work illegally in the United States. So I don't know if you'd heard that, but that's what I'd heard. But one factor for that.
Yes, and the other – I had heard it. And the other point is that, of course, they're not called Monsanto anymore.
Mm-hmm.
change their name. But the other interesting geopolitical point for them was to see how that would put pressure on the government. Because if you can do things like that, you can pressurize a government. And it was part of an experiment, I think, to see what would happen and how other countries would respond. You see, people perhaps don't fully appreciate that some of these big corporations consider themselves a government. The point, they don't see themselves as a company to sell products and make money. They see themselves as an organization that influences and makes policy, not just in their own country, but they their policy into other countries. They make rules and laws, so they're almost like a country themselves. And that's a really important point to come to terms with.
I've been reading a series of books recently by Dr. Michael Sala on the secret space program and what's been going on in Antarctica. And what amazes me is that companies act just like that. Many American and German companies act like their own separate companies, or separate governments, with the secret space program, doing all kinds of things that much of it are illegal, but it goes on. And it's just, it's another example of what you just said.
Well, and I'm sure lots and lots of people listening to this will have a understanding that in many jobs, a boss, a top person will say to you, listen, I don't care how you get the results for me, just get the results. And if you do something wrong or illegal, the boss and the boss says, well, I didn't give him permission to do that, so you get fired. Right. Now, that's what's happening. Governments are turning to the agencies, all these arm's length organization, and they say, we don't want to hear about it. Don't tell us about it. You go out, you do what you do, but if it comes, gets caught, we don't know anything about it. And that's what's happening. Governments, of course, they know, but they are putting distance between themselves and these people.
Right. Interesting. I've got some questions. I've got some questions from listeners, Simon, if it's okay. Or are there any topics you'd like to talk about?
No, it's fine. I mean, you know, just whatever, any questions, just bring them on.
Oh, okay. All right. This is from Bonnie. She writes, Bibi Bacus spoke of a video, Sasha Stone in his conversation with Bibi Bacus, about getting back our money. Could you explain that? I looked for the post. I couldn't find it. I wanted to look at it, but I couldn't find it today.
Did you say getting back our money?
Yeah, referring to getting back our money.
I think we need to tread carefully, simply because I don't want to raise up people's hopes or expectations.
Sure.
There have been a number of initiatives to see if certain amounts of money that's just sitting in somewhere special could be released and given to the people. Unfortunately, some people on websites ran away with this, thinking that it meant that everyone was going to get a cash handout. Mm-hmm. That's not what I understand this is about. This is about a certain organization saying that it doesn't want to fund government because it doesn't trust government, but it would fund non-government organizations or charitable status organizations or any organization that was prepared to do some good work but wasn't able to do it because the official government wasn't funding them. So it's not to be seen as a cash handout on the sidewalk, more to do with organizations who are detached from government being supported and funded. And that, I think, is what that refers to.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Okay. I've got another question from Sandra, and she asked about how to get rid of attachments.
There are lots and lots of different attachments. It could be a demonic type thing. It could be an alien thing. It could be something from your own military.
Sure.
And it could be a physical attachment or an energy attachment. Mm-hmm. So, I can't. Unfortunately, I can't ask the question because I don't know what attachment referring to.
Yeah, she doesn't really explain. Yeah,
that's okay. However, sadly, probably maybe a third of all the clients that I deal with do have some form of demonic attachment mm-hmm. picked up either from a Ouija board or handling okay. some sort of ancient artifact, something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a third of my clients are that. And I can do that. I don't do it in one go. Mm-hmm. I only need one session, but I give the person homework to do and then go away and do that. Mm-hmm. So the church has stopped doing it, nearly. I remember talking to a pastor 30 years ago, and he said that he'd got called to a house. He'd gone in and he thought he'd exorcised this, you know, this spirit. And right. he said to me, the damn thing, he said, followed me back home. I had to get pastors from the local district to come to my house, and we got rid of it. But he said, I'm not ever doing it again. And what we've seen over the last 30 years mm-hmm. is the church that has traditionally, you know, pushed out these spirit things, they don't want to do it anymore because they've not got the upper hand anymore. Mm-hmm. That's, I'm just being totally honest with you, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. unfortunately there has been so much corruption within some of the churches mm-hmm. that the that fighting spirit, that reason for being in the church in many places has gone, and so they don't now have those people with the same spirit to uphold decency that they did, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, I see. Interesting. I've been told, Simon, by my spirit friends on the other side, that as the planet raises its vibration, there are negative entities who are trying to stay on the planet, but they can't. And so they're grabbing really anybody or anything they can to stay here. Have you run into the same thing with people?
Makes perfect sense. The other thing, I absolutely, totally agree with that. The only other thing I'm going to just add is that as we transfer from the third to the fifth, mm-hmm. naturally begin to pass through the fourth.
Oh, okay. And
that's where these things reside.
So that makes sense.
Why we are getting more of them, simply because we are passing through their world. But we're not passing through like you would walk through a coffee bar. Mm-hmm. We're passing through as if you were in a motor car and you were mm-hmm. driving through a town. So in other words, we most cases they can't touch us. They can see us, but we're moving too quickly because of the vibrational frequency change. But occasionally, you know, we do have that contact. So we can expect an increase in these reports until we clear this lower fourth energy field.
Interesting. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. You know, we get just little bits of Brexit over here. We don't get much news over here. And What do you think ultimately will happen with Brexit, Simon? Do you think it actually will happen finally?
Yes, it will. The latest news is that having for months been told that the European Union would not accept a deal, they did. The European Union have accepted the new deal that the British Prime Minister has put forward.
Right.
And tomorrow, Saturday, it's only about the third or fourth time that the British Parliament has ever had a sitting on a Saturday, but they're going to earn their money. They're going to go in on a Saturday and they're going to vote on it. And it'll be one of the most important things since 1979. So I shall be listening live or watching live because it could be one vote in it. Literally 650 lawmakers, one vote in it. So if he gets the deal, then Britain will leave the European Union with a deal. If he doesn't get the vote, he loses it. He's going to call a general election. They won't give him an election because they know he'll win. And then this country will stagger on for probably another 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Then we'll have an election. And then he will win that. So one way or the other, Britain is most definitely leaving the European Union.
Interesting. Huh, interesting. We've got about 7 minutes left, Simon, and I always really enjoy talking to you, Simon, and your perspective on things. What do you see happening in the short to medium long, medium term next, this year, for example, the rest of this year happening in the States and other countries?
Well, you know, it's only one thing that really takes that, and that's the first week, I think, is it? Second week in November 2020, when you have your election.
Oh, okay.
Sure. I think that is the most important thing, because if a different political party becomes the president, I think they will be a very interesting agenda. One of the first things a new, well, it would have to be a Democrat, wouldn't it? One of the first things a Democratic president will seek to do is to unlock the Second Amendment, because they are absolutely determined to take firearms, guns off the American people.
That's true.
So what you would expect if a Democrat wins in 2020, one of the first policies will be to literally ban handguns from the American citizens. I mean, I know in California, I think I'm right, you can only have 10 bullets in your gun.
You're kidding.
No, no, I think it's an automatic gun. You can only have 10 rounds, 10 shells. But if you would go to Texas, you're going to have 17. So there are some states that already limit the amount of ammunition you can carry. And they were trying to do this bit by bit by bit. But you've got some of these states like Arizona and Texas that you know, very, very much part of the Second Amendment. What I'm saying is, absolutely, privately, I have been told by people who know that one of the key points for the Democrats is to take away the guns from Americans. Now, to me, that's a vote loser, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe American people want to give their guns up.
No, I don't see them giving their guns up. No, they have an inherent distrust of government, and there's a reason why we've got the Second Amendment. So.
Well, but I hear you, Ted, but... Yeah. That's going to be an official policy for the Democrats. So they must think it's a vote winner, surely.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a vote winner in California. I don't know. All I can tell you is that that is an absolute policy. And what they might try and do is hedge the question, fudge the question, as we say in Britain, get into power and then just pass the law through Congress and the Senate and then take it. So it's a very important situation. And the election is the only thing that matters in terms of domestic policy now in the U.S.
Do you see President Trump getting elected, reelected for a second term?
I think it's absolutely hinging on the media. I think if President Trump can legitimately show some form of corruption within the media. I think he'll have no problem. If he's not open to that, I think it'll be very close. What I think he's looking for is something big to happen, which really focuses the minds of the American electorate, and they then have to decide which side of the fence they're on. He wants a landslide because he wants to take back the House. He already holds the Senate. He wants to take back the House. That's a big ask. Because if you look at the midterms, the Democrats have a big majority in there.
I just don't
know, Ted. At this stage, it's too early to call.
Sure. Simon, we've got about 2 minutes left, and I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you, Ted. I missed not being with you last week.
Thank you.
That was a shame, but there is a lot happening. There is a great deal happening. I think that whether we like him or not, love him or hate him, President Trump has a good relationship with Putin. And as long as your president is yours, because I'm not American, unfortunately, I wish I was. But as long as your president has got a good relationship with the Russian president, there'll be no war. There'll be no Cold War. There'll be no hot war. And I think that's very important. You don't want somebody in the White House who's seeking conflict.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, Simon, thank you so much for coming on today. I'm sorry I overslept first few minutes of the show, but I woke up in time.
Don't be silly. I said, you do overwork, Ted, and you know what I've said to you. You do overwork.
I know.
More of a vacation, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I will.
Okay.
Yeah, I will. I will take we'll take a break. Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, Simon, thank you again so much for coming on today. And please, on behalf of all my listeners, pet your cats for all of us. Say hello to your cats.
Speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Bye-bye. Take care, Simon. All the best. Bye-bye. Bye. That was Simon Parks, my good friend coming from England. Next hour, I'll be bringing on Michiko Hayashi, the director of the Modal Peace Project, to commemorate Dr. Emoto, who passed away 5 years ago on October 17th, 2014. And with that, please stay tuned just a few minutes, and we'll bring you on Michi from Tokyo.